The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is May 20th, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. And believe it or not, I announced this a couple days ago. Our good friend Dr. Wong is on with us today, and we'll get over to him in a moment. Unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. That's Steven Santangelo. He's a regular on here every month, too. Primal Creations at AOL.com. Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. Let me see here. The top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Fiorello Barbell Co. Free ebook. Download it. Commit, action, change your life. Also on Fiorello Barbell Co. Strength times power equals success and the winner's circle. These are the two biggest programs that I've built to date. Obviously, if you know anything about strength times power, I use that to plug it in and plug it out with anybody that comes here because the way we've got the exercises set up, you can do anything. This was a specific routine I used to knock 43 pounds off Dennis in 6 months. And I leaned them out to 224, so you can do the math. If you saw the pictures of him, the comments were they didn't even believe it was the same guy. When you saw him before, I swear to you, he looked like he was 9 months pregnant. It was unbelievable what changed. The Winner's Circle, that's 12 modules. It's me talking, but it's got everything from power rack training to iron boots training, the high shrugs to sandbag training, the stone training. So if you like the philosophy, you like the way we talk here, I am talking by myself and giving you whatever I've got. By now, I could probably do at least 20 of these here. It's not a problem with all the information we're doing right now, all the new stuff we're doing right now. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Go out and take a chance on yourself. Stop banging around, walking in the walls, walking in the dark. This stuff is all done here, right behind my office. I'm looking at it right now, and no one writes our content, period. So go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. and take a shot on whatever it is you want to do. Well, today we've got Dr. Wong on with us, and I want to give you some information on this gentleman. And as you know, he is on here monthly with us, and I keep saying I'm going to try to get him on more, which I want to do. But right now, we're going through a good thing. We're going through a lot of growing pains. We've been having to shift some shows around. We've had to reschedule them. And, you know, we're booked right through August right now, so I can't get too far ahead. But for him, we're going to do some other stuff, and there's some other people, too. I'm really trying to work it out, and, you know, just be patient, because when you see some of the stuff that's going on and it comes into the real life form, you're going to be pretty shocked. But here we go. Dr. Wong is a classical neuropath, a PhD, exercise physiologist, certified athletic trainer, certified sports medicine trainer, and World Sports Medicine Hall of Fame member, and World Martial Arts Hall of Fame member. If that doesn't snap you into it, I don't know what will. But Dr. Wong, welcome to the show. And, you know, we're going to talk today. You know how he and I are after all the stuff, whether it's testosterone, manliness, learning how to weightlift correctly, a lot of his experiences that he's done that nobody else has. It's always a high-level, high-octane show. And this is going to be no different because we haven't talked probably in a month at least or maybe longer. We're going to build TNT back into your life, and we're going to tell you how to do it because this has been a point of contention, especially lately. We've been talking about this on and off the shows, direct and indirect, that we talked, like when Dr. Wong and I talked, how do you become manly again on the last show? Well, we're even going to take it a step further because we're going to build it back into you again. And there isn't going to be any more of this, well, what do? I haven't got off the couch in 20 years. Well, we're going to tell you. So welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on board, Eric.
Absolutely. Anything I missed, the website, anything like that, put it all out, sir.
No, you did just fine. You did just absolutely fine. The intro was great. Thank you.
You're welcome. You deserve it. You put in your time, and I'm more than happy to compliment anybody that loves to do what they do. You know, I use TNT. Obviously, it isn't dynamite. There is a difference in the two of them. But, you know, you and I both know, you know, everything now is kind of a struggle for everybody. I read, you know, I'm out on Facebook a lot, obviously, with the business, and you see one episode after another where it's like someone wronged me, or these are the things you got to constantly look out for, or if someone says this to you, do I take it as an insult? You know, on and on and on. I don't identify with any of that stuff, and there's just too many people that are kind of living at a low level. It's like, you know, below sea level. And we need to tell them, what do you do? I mean, the classic thing is, you know, it's easier to complain and just, you know, take offense to everything. But, you know, that isn't the way to live, and you're going to live very unhappily. So when we're talking TNT, and I mean like an explosion of whether it's creativity, training, whatever, how do you look at something like that, Doc?
Well, you know, again, I'm going to quote Joseph Campbell.
Okay.
The dreamer dreams great dreams, and the warrior accomplishes those dreams.
Yep.
Most of us can dream the dreams. We daydream. We sit there. Yeah, I want this kind of a gal. I want a broad that looks like that. I want a, you know, I want a 20-inch arm. I want a, you know, big set of cojones. I want this. I want that. And they sit there and they dream about the car and the girl and whatever. But then they don't have the gumption to get up and put in the work that it takes to get that stuff. If you want the 18-inch arm hanging off your shoulder, then you need to put in the time and the effort to get the 18-inch arm hanging off of your shoulder. Just dreaming about it ain't going to build it. This isn't the little engine that could. I think it can. Well, if you freaking think you can, then you need to work so that you do.
Well, you know what the interesting thing is, though, about all this? It's society has come to a point in my life right now where I see is... I don't even want to be around it anymore. In fact, I have a hard time reading stuff like that now because I don't live by the assumption that everybody's against me or I've got to look out for this with everybody because this is how I see it. If you want to build real fire in your life, I mean, we're gonna, and I want to hit a number of things. Like, let's talk about training for just on and I'm going to move from one to one, and then I want you to comment any way you feel. Let's talk about just exercise. Now, you and I, obviously, you've done more than me with martial arts, and you've had a lot more different areas of expertise than I have. But I got to tell you, what I found with lifting, all right, I'm going to say my experience. I've gone through many forms of lifting, you know, whether it was in the beginning, you know, bodybuilding, we'll say, and then power bodybuilding, and then rack, you know, dead stop rack work, you know, then into the stones, and then all these odd objects and stuff. And that's how I started building that TNT into my lifting. I mean, it was like everything I did was way harder than the last thing. Everything I did was mentally, whether it was frustrating or stimulating, it was always that yin and yang with that. And that's the way it is with everything. People don't realize it's never going to go perfect for you. You're going to struggle to have success. So now today, obviously, you know, I've discovered stuff. Now we're lifting 55-gallon drums. We're doing hand-thigh deadlifts. I was like, I've had these things for over 2 years. My shoulders been bothering me on and off, obviously. I'm looking at it the other night, and I'm like, you know what? Why can't I do a floor press in my driveway with them? Now, these are three-quarters of the way up with a 3.5-inch fat pipe through them. Obviously, you can go into a 3-inch bar to pull with it. You can put a 45 on each end with a collar. But the crux of the whole thing here is the weight that goes in the barrel is not going to be uniform. So you could have a 45 scattered in one corner, 25, another 45. So when you go to lift this beast, it tries to walk you every time because nothing is even. And you're trying to balance a 55-gallon drum on each side of you. So I'm looking at this thing, Doc, and I'm like, you know, I'm on a special program right now to strengthen the shoulder all the way through with bands and dead stop in the rack via John McKean. And I'm looking at this thing. I said, you know what? I wonder if I can bench press this thing.
Ah.
So I was like, here we go, man. All right? So the cool thing was, and this is what I think you'll appreciate this, is this. I laid on my back on the stones in the driveway. I put 200 pounds in the barrels. And by God, man, I took that thing and pressed it, or like a shot. And here's the clicker, here's the kicker. I said to myself, now this thing's trying to weave back and forth on me because, you know, that we know we have no balanced weight in it. Now think about this for a second. We all, you know, I'm a big proponent of the power rack with the isometric holds and all that stuff. We've talked about that and how beneficial it is. Think about this for a second, and we'll hit this one first with you. Can you imagine? Now, the other night, I'll tell you what I did after that. I had to test it. I'm thinking when I got that thing up in the air and it's trying to weave left and right and back. I mean, not doing anything stupid to re-injure the shoulder, but thinking, creativity. Do you know, I said to myself, what's going to make my ligaments and tendons, bone and musculature stronger than that if I can hold those 55-gallon drums, whatever I put in them, and they're not weaving? So fast forward to the other night, because tonight I'll go out and train again with stones. I did a superset, and what I did is I had this apparatus that I built that goes the width of the power rack. You slide the rods through it on both sides, lock the pins when they go through, and it's got the whole center opened up, and I can put any size dumbbell on that, lay it on there. I can press it from any angle in the rack, and what I did is I went back and forth with a 2-inch dumbbell. So I laid a 100-pound dumbbell in there, did not go up, and I finished off with a 300-pound press in the barrels and held it, and I did 100-pound for the last set. And I got to tell you, my shoulder hardly hurts at all now, and I think I've discovered – well, all right, so, I mean, I've told you. So what do you think – I mean, right there, that's TNT. You just blew your training up to the point, and this is what it's doing to me. It's making me not concentrate on that shoulder, but at the same time, not only am I going to get size, strength, and the power – through all the tendons and everything by doing it that way, but it's creating now bigger sets of shoulders, pecs, everything else. What do you think about that? What's your opinion?
You used your imagination, yep, and you added your willpower, and that turned into great muscular effort, and you achieved your goal. You had your dream. The lover in you had the thing it wanted to accomplish, and then the warrior in you actually got it done. Exactly what we've been talking about.
What you know what it is? But I was stunned because you know how you were looking at something and you could be screwing around something for years and then suddenly you stop and you say, "Holy shit!" And that's what I did. I stopped. I looked at that bar there and I was like, "Why can't I bench press that thing? Why did it take me 2.5 years to figure that out?" You know, and. But, you know, that just shows that, you know, you're not losing your grip on your training, obviously, and you're still thinking about ways to become bigger, stronger, more explosive, and to heal things. Because if this thing works the way I'm planning on it, this is going to be a very interesting thing that I'm going to write up, and whether I put it out or not. But I'd like to speak on it because, we know there's things you do to heal shoulders. But if you can weight train them, still while you're, rehabbing and doing this style of method I'm doing, I mean, this will be insane because I got thinking, too. I'm not interested in doing a big, massive thing with these barrels. But, I can always get the height closer and closer. I'll lay on something. I'll be up closer and closer to it. And maybe eventually, who knows, maybe I'll be 6 inches from it and still pressing 300 for 20 reps with it. But it's real interesting. And, when we talk about building all this TNT, this power into your life and everything, that was a big thing for me the other night. Next, here's a very interesting thing. TNT, well, let's talk about the brain. We've addressed this a lot, but I'm sure we got some other stuff to talk about. What is it? Is it societal? Is it the combination of we got to have it now, the 24/7 news, the texting, we got to be involved. Our brain's got to be involved in that. But when it comes to the important things, we seem to come up empty. What's your feeling with that? How do we build that explosive, smart-ass attitude that really works for you and can create whatever you want? And obviously, you're tough enough where you can just keep rolling.
That will be much harder to do because you're going to go against what society wants you to do now. I mean, come on. We're letting deviants into girls' bathrooms
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, the society has gone fag.
Yep.
Society has gone limp wrist. Society has gone to the point where if you're a soft male, that's a good thing. If you're one of those mean, nasty, macro-aggressive big males who thinks he's so big and strong, you know, Vanity Fair, the magazine, complained that the Captain America movie was too masculine.
Oh, my God.
It was too what?
Oh, my God.
Captain America is too masculine, and, it's just putting fear into all those little soft jelly males. Oh, poor babies. So, if you're going to be a male, if you're going to be a man's man, then what you got to do is you have to be able to take criticism from the crowd.
Yep.
All the sheep are going to complain that you're turning into a sheepdog. Fuck them.
Yep.
And you've got to be a sheepdog, or you've got to be a wolf. Sheepdog's better than a wolf, but at least you're not a fucking sheep.
Right.
So, you know, you've got to be willing to take the criticism, grow a set of balls, and be the man you want to be, despite everyone else telling you, "Oh, you're so wrong. You need to get it up the ass. You need to suck dick." You know.
I don't think so.
It's one of those hot spots in me now. I think we're going to see the pendulum swing the other way.
It is now, I think.
In 20 years, you're going to see Vikings out there.
I think
so, too. You're going to see guys like Thor and Captain America and whatever else. You're going to see Steve Reeves out there again pulling the pillars down with the chains and stuff.
Yep. You'll see old Jack LaLanne in the bay, man, pulling the ship.
And all these little teddy boys, all these little fops, will have died, hopefully an ignominious, cruel, nasty-ass death from, you know, something that they caught getting fucked up the ass. and the manly men will be around. Now, Edgar Casey, the psychic, I'm gonna throw this in for the hell of it. Edgar Casey, the psychic, said that after the Third World War, there would be 10 women for every guy on the planet. And all of us who survived that long would have to be polygamists because we just have to, you know, rebuild society. Hey, I'm all in for that.
Absolutely.
Ain't no jelly dick male's going to do that. So hang around, folks. Third World War's coming.
And, you know, not only that, what I see now is, you know, and I know we can attribute this to low. I had to laugh the other day. I read an article when you're talking about men with heart attacks.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very surprised that the medical field, and you'll hear the ones that are either MD / they might be naturopaths or whatever, they've decided that other end bodes better with them for whatever reason, I don't know. And I've heard this also about the mind. Now they're prescribing testosterone. And I got to laugh because we live in a society now where testosterone is frowned upon because, you know what? We don't need those guys that want to be leaders. We don't need those guys that are going to look you straight in the eye and tell you you suck. We don't need men that, you know, want to take care of their women, want to take care of their family. Now, this isn't everybody, but obviously the way the structure is in America with media, they make every guy look like they're no damn good or they're stupid. Watch any commercial, and it's usually demeaning to a male. Now, like I said that time, the worst commercial I've ever seen, I think, in my life was the Walmart one. I think it was Walmart at Christmas. And there was some guy, I think he's a performer, I couldn't tell you who he is. He's singing these stupid songs on like a little organ when people come in. And this guy comes in, he's your typical 30-plus guy, actually, maybe 40 maximum, typical build, soft, big belly, receding hairline, and he's got this dumb grin on his face like they've got him full of something, which they probably do. And he's got, it looks like a woman's purse around, you know, his shoulder. So this guy, the guy is making fun of him, look at him, he's got a purse, and blah, 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 and the guy's got this dumb look on his face like, you know, kick me in the balls, I don't mind, right? Say whatever you want. So he says like this, he keeps going, it's a satchel. And I'm thinking to myself, what? And the guy, the other guy in the organ's going, it's a purse. No, it's a satchel. And then finally, like, he turns like a half turn, kind of give him this puzzled look with a goofy grin and walks away. And I'm saying to myself, all right, I understand you got to eat, dude, but you made every guy look like a douchebag, and you are. And it's like, good for you and your money. I mean, I was embarrassed for him, and I was like, when that came on, I wouldn't even, you know, I turned the channel. I was like, is this how men want to be portrayed? And I guess they do if it comes down to a paycheck. I don't think everybody does, because most of the guys I know, you and, you know, most of the men that are associated with the show, they're not buying into any of that shit either. But what they do is they take a very small percentage of everything that, like, they do, and they turn it into, like, it's 99.9%, and all the guys are this way, or you're buying this way and all that. And it's like, you get the feeling, like, you know, you look at him, and I say to myself, this guy's got to be mentally fucking drained right out of his head. And it's like, what am I going to do to this guy to put that stick of TNT in him and make him, you know, find himself again? What is it going to take? And who's going to take it to you? Because if you, like you said, if you live in those parameters of mainstream, you're doomed. And the thing that I don't understand is, well, I do understand in a lot of ways. I'm just equating myself. Why the hell wouldn't you want to walk out of that square box and go out and either get hit by a car or figure out what you got to do? Because I'll tell you what, I don't care who you are, guy or not, you, I, and everybody out there, even the most docile guy, you know, it's like anything. You push the most docile dog in a corner, they're going to come at you and they'll bite your arm off if they got it. I can't believe these guys don't feel that inside. I would feel ashamed, man. So, you know, that's why I'm hoping when you and I do these shows and anybody else, and we get into this, well, you know, what are you going to do, man? Are you going to sit there for the next 30, 40 years of your life and just be somebody's punching bag? I don't know. I comment on anything you want there, but it just baffles me to see this happening repeatedly over and over and over again.
We have so many things that have been put into society, that have been put into our daily lives to make people docile. It started in the 1950s. Now, we have to remember, let's go back to something called Operation Paperclip.
Okay.
We took all the Nazi brain control scientists. We took all the Nazi rocket scientists. We took all the Nazi biological warfare scientists. We took all the Japanese biological warfare scientists who should have been tried for war crimes and executed, because they killed millions of people in experimentation. Millions in experimentation. And you can verify everything I'm saying by just going on web and looking at Operation Paperclip.
Yep.
And we basically took on their science. So, you know, Hitler used to put fluoride into the water in concentration camps. Was he concerned about the dental health of the prisoners there? No. What he wanted was a substance to make the prisoners more malleable to suggestion, take orders better, and question authority less. That substance was fluoride. It also helped to give him cancer, which got rid of him faster, which was a plus. They didn't have to feed him as much. Now, combine the fluoride, making your mind more susceptible and more malleable to suggestion and less contesting authority. Combine that with all the estrogens in the food, especially from soy, now from flax, and from all the seeds, peas, pods, and beans that everyone is telling you need to eat to be healthy. Fuck that. You know, then all of a sudden, you've got an estrogen-dominant society, males and females. You've got a lot of cancers going on. You've got a lot of inflammations going on. A lot of water retention, a lot of mood swings, a lot of bitchiness, but very little manliness. So we need to find individuals who are strong enough in their mind both to buck the system and then to undo within themselves the poisoning that the powers that be have been putting into you to make you more suggestible, more malleable, to make you a subject instead of a citizen.
Yep.
And that takes detox. You need to get all the crap out of your system. You need to get the estrogen out. You need to stop taking the fluorides. You need to do heavy metal detoxification. liquid, activated liquid zeolite works wonderfully. 20 to 30 drops of activated liquid zeolite. Go to zeolitecompany.com. They're in Jersey. That's the zeolite we use. 20 to 30 drops in any beverage for months and months and months, and you will detox everything toxic out of your body.
Really?
Chemicals to heavy metals to you name it, it'll even take it out of your brain.
The stuff
works wonders. I just had a Vol test done. Vol is a special kind of electronic physiologic testing. And I had zero toxins in my body.
Really?
Zero. That's now that's even counting on the fact that I just had the last few mercury amalgam fillings taken out of my mouth. And I did not do EDTA or DMPS chelation immediately afterwards. I just relied on the zeolite, and I was toxin-free, heavy metal-free anyway. The zeolite works and works like a charm. So, between what we do to stop putting in the poisons, the soy, the flax, the fluoride, and then what we do to buck ourselves up and increase our testosterone, and then the willpower to carry out the program to make yourself more manly, and the strength of character to be able to say, eat it, when someone says, oh, you're wrong. Everyone else thinks this way. Well, you know, a billion flies eat shit.
Yep.
I don't think that their votes count.
No, I agree with you. I want to ask you one question. I don't want to get off this. Now, that was Zeolite, Z-E-O-L-I-T-E.
LiquidZeolitecompany.com.
No, I'm looking at it right now. It says zeolite for health.com, and would it be the liquid zeolite? It's called Enhanced with DHQ, 1 ounce, 2 for $38, and then they go up to $240.
I think that should be it, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll keep that because I am going to order some. Now, if I'm taking that, I don't need any other, like, detox teas or any of that crap, right?
You can make things go faster, you know. I will tell you straight on. I don't like oral detoxing. Those oral detoxing packages are really harsh to the intestines.
Okay.
The easiest, best, and cheapest. I'm into cheap. I'm into cheap, but not cheap bad. I'm into cheap.
Right.
Works.
Right.
Okay. 2 teaspoons of liquid chlorophyll in a glass of water.
Yep.
And 20 drops of zeolite, once or twice a day. Do it for several months, and there won't be anything in you. You will be squeaky clean.
You know what? I'm telling you, man, you are a wealth of knowledge. And I know everybody out there is going to be calling Zeolite. We should. Too bad we didn't have you connected to the site. should be getting a connection for that.
Too bad I don't make any money off of this. Oh.
I know. Well, hey, you know what? We're gonna take care of all that, too. We're going to get some stuff going. All right, so that is very interesting. I can't wait to order that. I'm going to order that tonight. That's very good. Oh, man,
also,
I'm thinking
that the liquid zeolite is the only thing that can take the radioactive uranium particles out from the depleted uranium anti-tank rounds that used in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we've got our soldiers exposed to that uranium dust powder. It goes into their bodies. It never comes out.
Wow.
It transfers to their children. It gives their children birth defects from the radio activity.
Wow.
And the only thing on God's green earth that can get that crap out of you is liquid activated zeolite.
Well, you know what I like about it more than anything besides the health? When you said, and that's what everybody's going to go nuts on, that's going to push them to do it. When you're talking getting rid of estrogens, flushing them right out of your body, these guys are going to be like hopping on the zeolite site when this shows up. I'm going to be ordering like crazy because, you know, I send them for your products for that, but it's like, this. I'll you know, just run it with what you got, too. Good stuff. All right, well, now, you know, that right there was the gold nugget of the show, no doubt about that. Holy shit. Well, we know the deal with the guys, and it's a bad, bad thing right now. But, you know, a thing I read a lot on Facebook, and you hear it all the time, and it can happen to you, and it happens to other people, once again, are relationships. And it seems like, you know, everybody's been hurt. That's a fact of life. If you're going to take chances, you're going to get hurt. But you also got to be careful who you're hooking up with, because a lot of this stuff, I think, is due to bad choices. And, you know, I think this all goes totally with everything we're talking about. when you're building real strength with the weights or the stones or martial arts or kettlebells or whatever, when you're taking the right stuff, obviously, to whether it's cleansing this crap out of you, or you've got a circle of people around now that are thinking like you, as you said, Doc, you break off from the mainstream crowd, you kind of shut that whole world off from you, and you reestablish and you learn to kind of, you learn to understand yourself again. And that's a bit, you know, I remember the one show we did, which was incredible, where we talked about sitting quietly, how it's very hard for most people to do that because they have to have the turmoil and the noise all the time, and they basically crack if they can't say anything. And this all goes, you know, with everything we're talking about here. But this nonsense, all right, look, there's always going to be people out there that aren't going to like it, you're going to get involved with, you know, they might cheat on you, they might not be honest with you, they might rip you off, et cetera, et cetera. I'm also a big believer, before I say the next thing, is you attract what you think about most. People would probably argue the fact with me, but I'm a big believer in that. But why, you know, is it the idea, you know, I hear so many people say to me, well, I don't want to be lonely. And I'm like, lonely? And they're like, yeah, I mean, I want someone to come home to, or I want someone to care about me. And I say to them like this, if you don't care first about yourself, if you aren't comfortable alone with yourself, if you aren't comfortable going out by yourself, it isn't going to matter if you get the supermodel walking down the runway or the Jane Doe, you know, 10 blocks down from you that you never even knew existed, and suddenly you're enamored with her. What's your feeling on that, Doc?
You know, too many people in our society settle for a relationship,
yep,
and they don't select. They're not selective.
Yep.
They think they'll never find their ideal. They think they're not worthy of ever finding their ideal. I'm convinced that the divorce rate is as high as it is,
yep,
because people are settling for instead of selecting. We
right.
need to not settle for, well, I probably won't find anyone better. And the second you marry the gal, bingo, you find the one you should have married.
Yep.
So, you know, we just because you're making love with each other, just because she's releasing your oxytocin and draining
yep.
you, just because you're making her scream and kick and whatever else, doesn't mean you need to marry the gal. If
yep.
that, if you can't see yourself being in love with that person for the rest of your life, just absolutely shit-faced in love,
yep,
don't marry him.
Exactly. Exactly. I said today I had lunch with a good friend of mine I used to work with, and I said the same thing. I said, you know, there's a lot more living to do, at least as far as I'm concerned with me. You know, we're in the grasp right now and going after everything we can with the businesses. And you know, to be honest with you, I don't really want to get tied down right now. It's like, I want to do a lot of traveling. I want to compete in a few more places in the world. And right now my life is tied obviously to both businesses. Obviously I'm getting ready to do multiple things out there meat wise and the training. And, you know, I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I think right now there's other priorities. Now, that, you know, one good thing is this. I think when you're least looking for something, that's when good things happen. It's when you put so much stress on yourself and the push all the time that you're going to make that mistake. And, you know, I'm not in the mistakes. I mean, if things happen, they happen. You can only control so much. But you know what I can control? I can control me. And if I can control me, I'm not going to get in a lot of trouble. And you know something? Girls are great, but you know, the way I look at it is like this. There's what, 3-1 women to men, I think? It's like, you know what, man? That's why you should never give up hope. You're never going to meet anybody or lower your expectations, because there are, hey, I remember when I started college, and there was this girl named Debbie Wilkins, I'll never forget, and she was beautiful, man. And they owned at one time there was a big photo place in Albany, they were all over, and she ended up taking it from her father, blah, blah, blah. And we were like best friends with one of our professors, and Mr. Klein, his name, and he was, to this day, not only was he a great teacher, he was just a fabulous man. I mean, and he was a big football guy and all that, so he loved us because we were all weightlifters, and, you know, he could hit the stride with us. So I remember him saying to me, we were talking about relationships one day, and he goes, I'm very good friends with Debbie. Now, she was coming in, graduating when we just came in. And he goes, I got to tell you something. I said, what's that? He goes, do you know how many times she's come to me in tears that nobody will ask her out? And I said, well, the biggest thing is she's very beautiful, number one, and most guys are chicken shit to do anything. And I said, second of all, you know, she's already a success. I mean, she knows where she's going. She knows what she's doing. And she was a wicked nice girl, too, right? So that just goes to show you that, you know, everybody thinks the girls that are the top lookers and this and that. I got news for you. They got their own problems.
Yep.
And a lot of times the problem is they can't find anybody that really gives a shit about them other than they want to nail them in the sack and say goodbye to them. And it's like, a lot of them are just like, what's wrong with me? That's what he said. She used to ask, well, what's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. You just haven't met the person that really gives a shit about you. And, you know, you just, and like I said before, then you end up settling, and guess what, man? You're living that, you're not living that dream anymore. You're living a nightmare with somebody. So what do you think? I mean, no, I'm sure you've encountered that.
You said it exactly right. Yeah. I'm going to interject something that I was talking about with Michelle just last night.
Yep.
Michelle, my wife, was a model.
Yep. Yep.
She, back in her teens and in her early 20s, was drop-dead gorgeous.
Yep.
She still is really, really, really pretty. Mm-hmm. I took her to a hospital Christmas dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And all the gals were dressed to the nines. Mm-hmm. Black dresses, velvet, pearls, whatever. Michelle's got her Christmas sweater on and a set of khaki slacks. And we walk in, and every woman in the entire ballroom stopped,
yep,
stared,
yep,
at her, and hated her instantly. The head of my department walks up to me and goes, wow, Will, holy cow. Now, he was half drunk.
Yep.
But, wow, holy cow.
Yep.
She's gorgeous. Yes, she is. Michelle told me that she hardly had any dates when she was in high school.
Yeah.
Because guys were afraid to ask her out. They,
yep.
She was so beautiful that guys thought she was snobby,
yep,
and wouldn't ask her out, couldn't ask her out, didn't have the balls to ask her out, didn't think they were worthy of asking her out.
Yep.
And you know, so she had some steady relationships, but in terms of being the gal who everyone thought she was, she actually wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She settled a couple times,
yep,
for boyfriends and whatever, and those were the worst relationships she's ever had. We,
yep,
need to not settle. And we, yep, need to be, guys, you need to be brave enough that if that,
yep,
gal in front of you is the most gorgeous woman you have ever seen, you need to be,
yep,
brave enough not to think that you're not worthy of her, not to think that she'll laugh at you, but you need to be brave enough to ask her out because you're probably the only guy who has in the last 3 months.
Absolutely. And it's insane because, you know what? My saying is the most they can say to you is no. Well, I mean,
yeah,
you can't handle no.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll tell you to go to hell, too. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, the whole thing is they make these rules. Now, for instance, the other night I did a very interesting routine. I lifted the barrels, went from there and grabbed a 150-pound steel stone, ran up, well, not ran, but moved pretty quick, the 95-foot of my driveway up and back, dropped that, grabbed a 100-pound barbell, curled it for a single. I did that three times, went to the max I did on the barrels was 502.5, and kept the weight at the other things. And I really didn't stop to take a blow or anything like that. I mean, my conditioning was far better than I thought it would be. Okay, and this goes back to all these bullshit rules with dating, with lifting, with testosterone, with your brain and how you think. Who the hell ever made the rule that you can't do three goddamn pulling movements in a row? And I got thinking about that the other night. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do these three things together and see if they kill me, because that's the way it makes everything sound.
Right.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm going to tell everybody out there who hasn't done it, don't be afraid to do three pulling movements in a row. All right? Now, you're going to have to gauge your weights, obviously, especially if you want to move enduring. But I'm here to tell you, that was one of the best workouts I've had in all the years I've trained. And you know why it was? Because I went against the grain. I did not let somebody tell me, Eric, if you do that, you're going to overtrain. You're going to hurt a muscle. You know, you're going to fall and break your neck. You know what, man? So be it. But I did that, and I took the shot, and I got to tell you, I felt dynamite for days. I wasn't real sore. I had this anticipation of getting back. What it felt like to me was this, Doc. It was like, it almost felt like it's like some of the stuff I'm doing out there now. It almost feels like you've just started training again, because what's happened is I've got such exuberance. And like tonight, I can't wait to get out tonight. I'm going to lift. I'm going to do partial Hoosa Steel stones in the rack, so I'll probably go up to like any. The stone is 235 right now to start with. I'm only going to do three rounds. It'll probably go up to around 350. But what I'm going to do is one for one. I'm going to keep that still at 150, the other stone, and I'm going to run the 95 up and back, put that down, go right back in the rack, you know, put a little chalk on, get a swig of water, bang, hit the next set. Run it down again, come back. Bang, hit the third set. I'm finished, other than having to clean it, you know, and put it back to where it belongs, you know, pulling the apparatus out of the rack and settling that. Run down again, then put the Hoosa Steel, the other one, away. And then after that, I'll do probably some light calf work and some neck work and call a night. Now, when you're doing stuff like that, you know, especially if I hit around 335 to 350 for my last set and obviously run with the 150, you don't need to be doing multiple sets of that, because that stuff is not made to run like a bodybuilding routine where I can do 20 sets of 20 and walk out of there. You try to do 20 sets of that, you better be not only conditioned, but you better make sure it doesn't break your goddamn arms right off your shoulders and your lower back.
You make sure
so what I'm saying,
waiting for you.
Yeah, I'll have the MD out at the end of the street, at the end of the driveway. But what I'm trying to say here is, stop buying into all the fucking rules, man. These rules are killing you. They're putting a clamp right on your balls, and you can't do anything, because every time you go to buck the system, so to speak, you're saying, before you go and do it, I can't do it. It's not going to work, or no one does it this way. Well, here's the deal, everybody. When you build your program, when you build your mind mentally, when you build your relationships, write your own script. Stop looking at other people for direction. Now, there's good people that can help you. I'm not adverse to that. But you know what? The only reason, I'll get right back to Doc, and I'm sure you can come right up on this, is this. Most of the stuff I've learned, I've been very lucky. I've had great people, especially now, like with Doc here helping me out with a lot of things that we don't need to talk about, and we will address this soon with a lot of things that are happening here. I've had generosity on top of generosity for people. They've been so damn good to me, and I hope, you know, the show is producing things for them, and it will as we grow bigger and bigger. But here's the deal. These people have all kind of gone against the grain, you know. I'm sure, and we'll get right to Doc in a second. And the thing that I admire about all of them is this. They understand the rules. They understand what they got to be and do to become successful, and they have. And their success keeps growing, even when they get busted down on one knee. Like I said to somebody the other day, I was like, I've been knocked down on one knee so many times on my right knee, it's a wonder I've got a kneecap anymore, okay? But the difference with me and a lot of people is, this is what I want to do, and I'm not going to let it kill me. I'm going to keep going through it and going through it. So the formula I say, this is what I say to building that TNT back into your life if you lost it, and most people probably have, is this. Don't be afraid to go against the grain. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, and do this. This is most important. Cut the people out of your life that do nothing but put you down and tell you you can't. All right, Doc, it's all yours, sir.
You became the sheepdog.
Yep.
You told the people who make the sheep rules, like you can't do three pulling exercises in a row, told them to go eat it.
Yep.
And you went and you made your own rules and you tried it out, and holy cow, it worked. So why do they have this rule? They have the rule because they want to limit you.
Yep.
Bingo, easy enough said, that's it.
Yep.
Be the sheepdog, not the sheep. Make your own rules. try things out. If they don't work, fine. If they do work, great. You kept your training fresh. You kept your training alive, which in turn increases your motivation to train because you broke the rules and you became the sheepdog and you didn't listen to the sheep.
No. And you know what the amazing thing is, what I found with some of this new stuff I'm doing, and this is important, you get a whole new perspective. You know, it's like dunking your head in cold ice water and you come back out and you're like, shit, man, that did feel good after all, and I can do this. And you know, that's what we need in our lives. It's like you can't do the same things over and over again. We all know with lifting, the body, you know, acclimates to it. Yeah, you might be successful for a while, but you know what's going to happen to you? Eventually, you're going to go stale. And by that, I mean things are going to start going the opposite direction on you. At that point, you've got to know you got to know at that point that, hey, you know what? I'm going to make a change here. Now, I know that they're telling me I can't do three pulling movements in a row, but I'm going to prove, and it's not even so much proving them wrong, I'm going to prove myself right. And that is the most essential thing with everything, because if you don't have any self-confidence in yourself and you don't have the guts to go out and try things, well, you're going to be just like that clown on the Walmart commercial where basically you could probably walk up and kick him in the balls and he wouldn't do a damn thing to you. He has none. Right. He's so used to being put down. He's so used to just following the same script. He's so used to being told, you're no good. You can't do it. Try it in your next life. All those beautiful things these lousy people say to you, instead of having somebody say, hey, you know what? Let's help you out, man. You're not functioning properly. You're not thinking properly. And you wonder why you can't attract a girl, because I don't care what anybody tells you in this day and age. I know I'm out in the dating world. Women do not like men that are not confident. Now, you don't have to be an asshole, all right? But they're looking for somebody that's, whether they say they believe it or not, they still like having doors held for them. They like to know when they're out with a man that they're protected. Now, I know most girls might say to you online that you're full of shit. Well, I go out with a lot of those girls that are online, and they tell me what they're feeling. And I got news for you. The majority of that shit you're being told is bullshit. Get away from it, man. Drop out of the mainstream. You know, do what you got to do if you've got to stay in with a job or business. But here's the next twist. I'll come right back to you, Doc. Let me tell you something. When you finally grow a set of balls and start thinking properly, and I'm not even going to say like a man. I'm talking understanding what's going on around you. Suddenly you get creative. Suddenly you might say, you know what? I wanted to do this business. You know, I'm a gardener. I want to start raising flowers. I want to start building plants, and maybe I sell them, and I have a hot house, a greenhouse, and all these great things. I'm creative. I'm building the garden. I'm sustaining organic food. I'm writing articles to push people and help them. That's what it does to you. But if you never go out on the limb and have some honest to goodness talk to yourself and say, look, what am I doing here? What do I got to change? And how the fuck do I get out of this bullshit life I don't like anyways? You're destined to repeat. So go ahead.
You know, again, we get to the Teddy Roosevelt quote about better someone who tried and failed in the arena of life than the guy who criticizes the guy who failed, who never did a damn thing.
Yep.
If you don't try, you never accomplish anything. Now, in order to be able to try, you've got to pull your britches up, get your testosterone growing, grow a pair, and actually just go for it. We need to stop listening to all the folks around us who are the naysayers. We need to stop listening to all the people who want us to conform to society. We need to stop listening to all the folks out there who are basically just part of the mechanism. What are they? Oh, yes. Beta enablers.
Yep.
And who are just mouthing off what society wants them to say, because it's the hip thing to do.
Yep.
And we need to be able to stand up as individuals and take the heat for standing up as individuals and not worry about it. You know, you were talking about confident men before. When the image of a confident, manly man in media is this asshole who's just a braggart, and he's he's overbearing and he's, yep, you know, whatever. That's the guy who's really insecure.
Yeah.
Really confident man doesn't have to brag. He knows what his capabilities are. A really confident man doesn't have to show off because, again, he knows what he can do. A really confident man is strong enough to open the door for a gal, to close the door on the car, to pull out a chair for her, to, you know, stand up when she gets up to diggle powder her nose.
Yep.
All those nice things that the gals really do like men to do for them.
Yep.
Except for the hardcore dykes. And you know, you see the hardcore dykes doing it for their girlfriends. Shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So totally different. We need to get back to having manners, and we need to get back to the thought. You know, I want everyone to have this image in their mind of this quiet samurai,
yep,
who's just taking a beating, and you know it's raining on him, and it's really nasty, and whatever else. And there are six guys surrounding him. He's not going to stand there and brag about his lineage, brag about who his teachers were, brag about anything. Again, think Clint Eastwood in A Fistful of Dollars or something. You know,
yep,
nice,
yep,
quiet. You know, everyone's ragging on him, and he goes, "You insulted my donkey."
Yeah, you
know? And then
absolutely
he kills six guys, right?
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Or even better, High Plains Drifter. He's in the barber chair.
Yep.
I mean, he walks into town, you know, and whatever, and in 30 seconds has a gal and kills three guys.
Absolutely.
You know? And he doesn't say a damn word. Okay?
Nope. So
real
just
men don't brag. Real,
yep,
men don't show off. Real,
yep,
men are so there's testosterone oozing out of their pores, and women just melt for them. They absolutely,
yep,
do. They don't like the, yep, braggarts. They don't like, yep, the assholes. So don't think that you have to be one in order to be men.
Well, and you know what the interesting thing is too, when you say like Eastwood, I mean, you know, I remember one of my favorites is the outlaw Josie Wales, and I remember everything was like, I reckon so. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like how come when he's talking to the chief there, Dan, whatever his name was, and he's like, why does it seem everybody that I like ends up dead? And the chief goes to him, it's like, well, it seems like everybody you don't like ends up dead too. You know what I mean? And it's but the correlation, you understand it. And you know, another thing too, it's funny because so many of those movies, we were talking about westerns this week, and you know, you look at some of the stuff, and you know, right down from whether it's Eastwood or Rocky movies, or you know, to date, you know, one of the few things I like is Stallone's stuff with the Expendables. I know they rip them in half, but you know, I want to watch these guys.
I like old guy kicking ass. I can, you know, I
hell yeah,
I can.
Well,
you
know what it is, Doc. You know what it is too. It's just the concept and the understanding and the ideas. All right, you know, maybe I'm a little older now, but I can still handle my ass and do shit, and that's real important. But you know, for the other stuff, it's just like it's good to see that there are men that really want to be men and still carry the traditions on of manliness. And you know, you never used to hear the kind of complaining you hear now, this and that. And I feel a lot of this stuff is fabricated, but I'm not going to even worry about that. And the thing I want to see is I want to see guys build that fire, that TNT, that dynamite, that idea that, you know what I mean, no matter what it is, I can always either come back, rise above it, or I'm going to come out with something that's going to work, and the whole world's going to be a better place, and I will lead by my own example, and I don't give a rat's ass if you like me or not. That's the problem. There's too many people that want approval, and the people that are approving you, that you want approval from, they'd be lucky if they can move out of their own way. You and I both know the way the media works. It's been very much manufactured and this, that, and that. I mean, look, I'm a big the Hulk was always my favorite superhero. That had a lot to do with the lifting and everything, because I thought it was pretty damn cool when a regular guy could suddenly transform into billions and billions and billions of testosterone dripping through everything on him.
Can you imagine what the size of his balls must be?
He could, that's probably the size of a goddamn tank, man. You know, and the thing with him was, you know, it was like, like 13 feet, I don't know how many tons he was, you know, and it was like, I just thought that was the coolest goddamn thing. But now, you're never going to see stuff like that. Obviously, they've got, like you said, with Captain America, he was too big, too strong. It's like, what do you think this is all about? When we were kids, you know, I used to love to read comic books. I used to love to sit there and read them and daydream, man. Those are the things that take little boys and want them to do superhero things. Now, it's frowned upon and looked at. But I do agree with you. I think there's a seismic shift coming, and I think it's coming in a big way. And I think it's been coming, but it'll never be reported because they want to keep the thumb in your eye and tell you you're no damn good.
Exactly right.
You know, so I think, look, it. I used to like to watch Wonder Woman, She-Hulk, all that shit, man. It didn't matter.
Wonder Woman was actually built like a woman instead of the gal who plays Wonder Woman now.
Instead of some fake broad with fake tits and ass implants and every other goddamn thing, all right? And it was like, it was different, man. And I do understand it, but it was like, nothing ever seemed like it was aimed at, okay, I'm going to get you, and that's the way it is, and we're better than you, and this and that. My grandmother, and I'll get right back to you, my grandmother lived to 108, and she was a nurse. She was from Plattsburgh, probably not more than 5'1", 5'2". She was a nurse till she was 78 years old. She worked in Champlain Valley Hospital in Plattsburgh. She lived on a street called Oak Street, which was pretty damn far from the hospital, and mostly every day of her life, she walked there and walked back. Now, this is somebody that was on her feet all day, and I know what kind of woman she was. And the thing, she is the matriarch of our family. Don't get me wrong, I love my mother like aces, but I've never met a woman like my grandmother. And I've always patterned any woman that I liked and basically compared her to my grandmother in a lot of ways, because there's so many things that I loved about her, I still love, and I miss her to death. And I mean that sincerely. And the biggest thing I liked about her and loved about her was I never heard her complain. If anything, it was nothing. I never heard her say, well, the world's unfair to me because I got to be up on the floor for X number of hours or I've got to walk home. She used to say to my mother, I remember when we were kids, any invitation you get, take it. She says that's what it's all about, share things. She was very religious, of course. She was Roman Catholic, she believed that, and I think her faith, because I know it was very lonely for her up in Plattsburgh. I mean, she had good friends underneath, but her family was very far away, and she was always very close to my mother. And when my mother came down here to finish her nursing degree, my mother said basically my grandmother pretty much told her to get out of the house. And it was an unselfish person that knew that she had to do that to get my mother to leave, or my mother would have felt obligated to stay with her. And the best thing was, she didn't care. She loved her grandkids. She loved my father. It was not a big deal for her to wait on you, put a breakfast on for you, all these things. And the love this woman had, I mean, I can't wait to the day I see her again, because I'm telling you right now, she had the most, I guess she's had more influence on me than ever, and I'll send it right back. But I'll tell you one thing. She loved kids, especially her grandkids. And, you know, she was no 30-year-old. You know, she was probably in her mid to late 50s at the time when we were little and going into her 60s. And she never, ever acted like some old person or anybody that didn't want anything to do with you. She used to take us anywhere we could walk to unless my parents brought us. And it was a very loving, without you know, asking for anything, man. It was just this undying love for the kids, man. And I always swore, whether I had kids or, like, I've got so many nieces and nephews, I would never, like, just say, hey, how you doing, and kind of push them aside and go sit with the adults. I always said I'm going to be just like her, and I am just like her, because anytime I go to any big family functions where there's a lot of people, or I just go over to visit, I'm always outside playing wiffle ball or kickball or something like that. Because you know what it is? Kids know somebody that really cares about them, that loves spending time.
Absolutely.
And they want to show that with you too. And it worked. I was over there on Mother's Day. Everybody was over. Here I am out with my youngest niece, who's just 8 and quite an athlete and a peanut to boot. We're out in the backyard. They got a big yard. And I bet we were out there for over an hour playing wiffle ball. She snatched me up. The minute I walked through the door, she said, if you got time, can we go play wiffle ball? I think I put the stuff down I brought, and I walked right out the back door.
Cool.
Bang.
Cool.
So my point is with this whole thing, and I'll let you say whatever you feel. This is all about the TNT. This is all about being a man. This is all about having influence on those you love around you, and even the ones you meet that you can have such an influence on. So, hey, guys out there, stop being afraid of everything. Stop, you know, being scared of your own shadow. Go out and do some lifting. Go out and buck the system. Go out when people tell you you're no good. You know, give them the finger and go out and prove them wrong if you feel. But most of all, build yourself. Build yourself into a titan. You know, make yourself a superhero. That girl you like, that girl you've been talking to at the bank for the last 6 months, and you know she's not dating anybody because she's kind of telling you what she's doing on the weekends, and she definitely makes effort to wait on you, go, you know, ask her out or just say, you know, could we go out if I met you out? Don't, you know, put her on the spot in front of everybody, but and don't pass her a note or you'll be going to jail. But you know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? But the opportunity there is there. Don't not do the opportunities. When you feel inside that this is right, by God, no matter what happens, take the shot. Be the big Captain America, the masculine. Be that damn Hulk that's got all that great gamma running through him. Hell, females, She-Hulk, Wonder Woman, all the goodies, man, that weren't out just demeaning people and making them feel like they're garbage. So, Doc, I'm pretty much finished up. I think I've got some good stuff, and we did a killer show. Summarize, take your time, whatever you want to do. Give out all your information. I'll give mine out, and we will talk soon again.
You know, what you were saying about your grandma,
yep.
That shows the strength of character that there used to be in the World
yep.
War I and the World War II generations.
Yep.
The folks who survived World War I and World War II, the folks who fought in World War I and World War II, had a strength of character. Now, they slipped up in my generation because they had gone through war. They had gone through the Great Depression. They'd gone through great privation.
Yep.
They survived. They made do. They got to the other side. And then they wanted to make things easier on us. That was the mistake.
Yep.
They made things too easy on us. We got too soft. We got too yep. jelly-bellied. We got too jellied in character. We became so soft and like just like the Pillsbury Doughboy, when you push mm-hmm. them in the... Put your finger in the stomach, that we couldn't yep. do jack shit. And then, on top of that, we had everyone manipulating what we needed to think and do. We need to find the strength of character that the cowboys had, that we talked about Clint Eastwood showing in the yep. movies, that we talked about the samurais showing in what they did, especially in the story of the 47 Ronin. Not the movie, go read the story.
Yep.
And then we need to apply that strength of character to today, to make ourselves individuals and sheepdogs instead of sheep.
Yep.
And we need to go back to the strength of character that there used to be in our society and reinstate that so that we do spend quality time with our families. We are everyone's favorite uncle. We are everyone's favorite dad. We're everybody's favorite husband. We're everyone's favorite wife. We're everyone's favorite person because we are doing and loving and giving, and we don't ask for stuff back.
Right.
Things just come back to us because when you always get back what you put out tenfold.
Yep.
So the law of karma is you will receive tenfold, good or bad, for whatever good or bad you've done.
Yep.
We need to get the strength of character, and we need to find it, and it is an individual thing. Don't look around and ask for permission. Don't look around and say, should I do this? If you even think you need to ask for permission, you're a fucking sheep and not a sheepdog.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I think it's very simple. But, you know, it's like anything. If you beat it down hard enough, you're going to cower. And when you get in that position, it's going to be very hard to come back. But this is why we do this show. This is why at some point with both of these companies and all the people that are affiliated with us, we're going to build a system here. When you come here, you know, we're not going to know everything in the world, but there's going to be an awful lot of material that's here now that is going to help you, shape you, and I hope it brings more success to you than anything you've ever read or listened to, because we're just not a podcast show here. We're a family. And when you hear like Doc talking and me talking, it gets very spirited, very high octane, very TNT like we're talking about today. And that's because we've lived a lot of it, we've seen a lot of it, and we want to give you our experiences and what we've done to either negate what was going on that was bad or what we used to bring us up another step, another step, another step, to the point where you have such self-confidence, you can go out and take on anything you want to do. That's what my grandmother used to do, probably not even aware of it. But she never, ever complained about shit I ever heard. And she went and worked a job that was very strenuous, right up to 78 years old. And I'm telling you right now, to me, she is the ultimate success. Yeah, she wasn't driving a Ferrari. She wasn't living on a Florida mansion, you know, right on the water. She didn't have $10 million in her bank account. But what she had was billions inside her. Billions inside her that knew how to touch people, that knew how to shape people, that knew how to inspire people. I said it the other day. There's two people right now I'd love to sit down with. My grandmother and my father. My father would have loved what I was doing here because he loved all that stuff. He never did it, and it would be like, it's like counsel. You know, being a young guy, I could go to him. My father was one of the most blunt people, and he was Italian to boot, that you would ever meet. And I used to always say, if you don't want an honest answer, you better not ask him because he might have you whimpering out the door, okay? And I would thoroughly enjoy, you know, sitting down with both of them. My grandmother used to have a beer with them, or they'd have a highball together. And it'd be very nice to just sit down between the three of us and just share everything, because the appreciation they would have had for it would just make you go bananas. It would be like talking to them would be, you know, it'd be like adding 50 more years to your life. So I'll leave it at that. Anything else you got, Doc? If not, give out the websites and all that, and I'll give mine and just hang on, please.
All righty. Anyone who wants to hear me rant and rave, wants to hear my lecture titled Fighting the Things Most Likely to Kill You, or listen to my podcasts on health, can listen to it at drwongradio.com, drwongradio.com. If you want to read my articles, there are about 50 articles on health, spirituality, martial arts, at drwong, drwong.us, U.S. is in United States, drwong.us. My supplements are at drwongsessentials.com. That's drwongsessentials.com.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
It's pretty easy. Let me just get this. Okay. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. Wong, and that's www.drwongsessentials.com. Also, too, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. Primal Creations at AOL.com. STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. On Facebook, Steven Santangelo. Also, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. All out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. And go out to the two sites. You're going to be seeing more and more changes, and I guarantee you're going to love what we're coming up with next. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got, and I thank everybody for that. Also, too, don't forget about this. This is real important. If you like a show specifically for Dr. Wong and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. We will deliver, I guarantee you, and some. So don't be shy. Also, too, go out and put comments out on Motivation and Muscle. Good or bad, I can take it. I know he can, too. But keep the language, you know, civil. I don't want that out there on that. So anything like that. And I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, as we said here today, you know, go out and give somebody some advice. You know, don't be afraid to give them a little inspiration, and don't be afraid to give them a kick in the ass either. Maybe that's what they need. And it's the same way out in the street. You know what I mean? It's like there's an awful lot of people walking around with their head down. Remember that. If that's the case, they're self-defeated. So think about that. That's very important. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get for that day. And if you're going to go out and lift tonight like I am, bend it, break it, snap it, push it, press it, pull it, whatever you got to do, take the stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Crusher says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. As I said before, we don't follow the path. We clear-cut our own. And as I say in every article I read, write, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Don't walk around it. And even if there's an abyss right in front of you, I wouldn't be afraid to jump in it, because who knows what's there waiting to. Also, next, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur said to us, who's been listening to Motivation Muscle since day one, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That was one of the nicest compliments I ever got, Russell. We will say that for the next 30 years to the day we sign off. Dr. Wong, once again, what can I tell you, man? We hit grand slams every time we do shows. I mean it. It's like running the rack with the weights, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Going from 300 to 1,000, man, and past it. So I thank you for being on. It was great to have you.
Thank you for having me on. I enjoy it.
I that's never a problem. You're welcome here anytime. Even if you call and say, hey, I got something that's pissing me off, we'll do shows. So before I sign off, think about this. You know, don't stand on the side of the road. Be a steward of strength and tell 100 people about us, because if not, we're coming for you. So for Dr. Wong, this is Eric Fiorello. We'll have him on again next month, and we will get into, I'm sure, some bone-breaking, back-cracking, neck-snapping material. So we'll talk to you soon, everybody. Have a great weekend, and thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.